Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today we continue our conversation around disability as usual. And I have in the studio with me Pero Holloway, president of Barnard, disability advocate, young man with a vision impairment. So today we will have a conversation where we will reflect on the year 2025 and what it represented, what it meant for the community of people with disabilities in Barbados. Welcome to Visions, Pero.
Thank you, Yudeli, and Happy New Year to all the OB country and all Vision listeners.
Thank you so much. And I will continue to extend warm greetings for great health and prosperity for our people as well. So, Pero, let's start by hearing your thoughts of what you thought 2025 was truly like for you as an individual and a leader of a disability organization.
Thank you, Yudeli. Individually, I would say 2025 will always be a year that stands out in my mind because it was the year that I actually lost 95% of my vision. And even though I was born visually impaired, I would have had okay vision. Certainly not 20/20 by any stretch of the imagination, but functional enough that I felt pretty independent in my day-to-day life up to the age that I am now. But because of some scar tissue that was blocking the lens on the back of my eye, my vision increasingly got worse to the point of late 2025, I could see maybe less than a foot in front of me. And what was in front of me was just like if you had a white plastic bag in front of your eyes. So that's basically what it was, a white plastic bag in front of your eyes. So you could see it was dark or light, but that is pretty much what it was. I'm guessing that people would think, oh, but he was born visually impaired. How different is it? It's more different than you think. Being visually impaired and being almost totally blind is two totally different things. And I would have started transitioning from visually impaired to being totally blind. And that's a whole program within itself. So I would say that for me personally, the challenges of being totally blind, learning to use the cane, depending on others to take you around, and so on, took a tremendous toll emotionally. And I would say, here's where I would advocate for persons who have disabilities, whether visually impaired, mobility, or otherwise, join an organization, because the support that you get from persons who are going through or went through what you are going through now is a tremendous resource of support. It's an invaluable resource situation to be in when you have support from your colleagues in going through such things. So that's personally. Since then, I would have had a procedure that restored the vision. So thank God for that. As a leader of an organization, Barnard, and also as an advocate, I would say that this year, I would have seen a lot more younger persons desiring to be part of the movement where disability is concerned. I also see that it has become a lot more challenging for organizations such as Barnard to exist in the landscape economically in Barbados. We would see that fundraising as an organization, corporate funding and so on, is not as healthy as it used to be. I think even the Salvation Army would have suggested that they didn't meet their quota this time around. We certainly didn't realize the kind of contribution that we wanted to from the general public, and an overall decline in what we would call the social responsibility of corporate Barbados for organizations such as us, and what that looks like in 2025, and if that continues in 2026 and beyond. I also would have seen growth in Barnard, which is tremendous. Any organization that is growing is definitely healthy. Growth means health, and growth means interest, and growth also means persons who will bring the capacity to move the organization forward in ways that we could only imagine. And I believe that those young persons coming into the organization will bring a new perspective to the movement, maybe different to what I'm accustomed to. It may not necessarily feel comfortable to me because I may not be a visionary of the youth, but I think we must embrace all change. In a nutshell, those are the things that I would say stand out in my mind for 2025.
Okay. How do you think the day-to-day experience of people with disabilities have changed over the past year?
I think it would have changed in that we are gradually moving to an electronic society, cashless society, so on. And we are having to make catch up. Those persons in the disabled community who are not very au fait with technology. And 2025, just like 2024, demands on us to become competent in the day-to-day use of technology. For example, WhatsApp has a new look. Facebook has a new look. Android has a new look and feel for all those Samsung users. You know, persons were complaining about the Apple Aero Glass and how that didn't work for some visually impaired persons. So all of these things affect us on a day-to-day level. And it is challenging for many of us to keep up with these things. We know that our economic circumstance says it's not changing as quickly as we would like. And the challenges of financing, not having money, affects us maybe even more severely than the average persons. Understand that most disabled persons are not employed, so therefore we depend on social services, national insurance grant, welfare contributions from our family and friends. And if they don't have, then we don't have either. And you hear the cries from persons, how we are struggling, we can't put food on the table, we don't have money to do this. Those are cries that we hear as an organization and as an individual throughout 2025. We're hoping that we may have a bit of an upturn in 2026, but nevertheless, if that is not the case, then we will have to continue to adapt to the changing climate and see how best we can make do. The aspect of climate change. Now, when we talk about climate resilience and so on, that affects the disabled too. As a visually impaired person moving around, when it is rainy, it's not the easiest. We don't see the holes, a puddle of water and things that you can slip on. Those who are mobility challenged can tell you how difficult it is moving around. And as we have more severe weather, that affects us directly as much as it affects the ordinary person. So I would say whatever would have affected anybody in 2025 would have definitely affected the disabled and maybe even a bit more.
Yes, please. So as we continue to look at 2025 and how people with disabilities have been impacted locally, especially, what major programs or policies stand out for you? I know most Barbadians have heard about the Barbados Disability Act, but what else stands out for you as we continue to talk about the Act and other policies?
Well, certainly the Ministry of Labor and Social Empowerment Agency. They would have incorporated the person with disabilities into their Jumpstart Plus program. And I felt this was tremendous for the disabled because Barilon would have been running a job preparation program for the last 10 years with not realizing the success that we would have wanted. And to see a ministry taking up the challenge of equipping disabled persons for the world of work, I felt was a tremendous step forward because we as an organization, we don't have very deep pockets. And therefore, we need money to have sustainability in some of these programs. And we would feel that if the Ministry of Labor is taking on this program, then it means that they may have a longer jeopardy in terms of running the program in a way that will realize and better results than we can as an organization. You know, I felt that this will be something that can reap rewards for our young persons because it caters for the younger disabled person. Well, they say the youth is the future, so why would you not focus on those persons? One of the other areas I was happy to see is the acquiring of more buses. I don't think I have to go into how valuable accessible transport is to persons with disabilities here because we would have talked about that like numerous times. But to actually see physical buses being imported It gives me the sense of confidence that sometime in the future, we can see persons with disabilities in wheelchairs at the bus stop waiting for a bus to go to Bridgetown or to Warrens or wherever the city center is of your that you desire to go to. And I felt, well, each electric bus is equipped for wheelchair persons. It has a lower step up for the mobility challenge, old persons, and a person like myself will get an old that can't step up in the high bus. And I'm thinking that the more buses we have that are accessible, the more opportunities there are for an accessible transport system in Barbados. And because it was something that we have been advocating for decades, forever, 2025 certainly stand out in terms of seeing these buses come in and hopefully on the road for us to utilize. And I'm hoping, I'm very much hoping that the color rail service, which is offered by the Transport Board through the Natural Disabilities Unit, will see more and more buses come on stream for that, and more persons with disabilities can utilize that service.
Carol, as we look at accessible transport, and I support your sentiments about the call a ride service because that is so vital for the movement of so many school children and adults who have medical appointments and other key appointments across the island. So that
Indeed.
definitely is a service that is needed and cannot be done without. So as you look around, have you noticed any further development or more spaces becoming accessible, because that's one of the big concerns that most Barbadians have, the inaccessibility of our built environment, our physical spaces. Have you seen any
So,
major improvements?
I'm glad that you asked me that on Wednesday. I was on the road going to our office here at the Garrison, and I happened to stop by a business place in Barbados, and I use accessible parking spaces. I have a parking ID, and in the Disability Rights Act, they talk about accessible spaces. In the Road Traffic Act, it talks about designated spaces for persons with disabilities who display a parking ID on the vehicle. It doesn't mean that the person who is driving is disabled. It means that that vehicle displays a parking ID because the occupant, whether driver or passenger, has a disability. More and more, I am seeing designated parking spaces with signs that says no parking or cones. I spoke about this a couple of years ago, and now it is almost every parking space has a cone or a no parking sign. Now, I have inquired why are business places doing this? Why? I was told by some security that they put the cones there or they put the no parking sign there because they do not want to have to go back and forth with a person who wants to park there who doesn't have a parking ID. Now, I can understand the rationale behind it. So you put the cone or you put the no parking sign there, persons don't park there. But newsflash, persons with disabilities are reluctant to park there also. I have been to business places where the driver told me, oh, well, we can't park in the parking space for disabled because there's a no parking sign there. So we got to park somewhere else. So it sends the message to the person who business place doesn't want to park there, who doesn't have a parking ID, but it also sends the same message to the persons who want to use this space and believe that the business place is saying no one should park there for whatever reason. We don't know why you would put a no parking sign there. We're not going to go in there and question the owner of the business and say, well, they may park it there for another reason. We don't know. We don't want to speculate. But it is happening. And sometimes when we get there, if you go to someplace familiar and the security sees you, oh, we know he moved the cone and then parked. We don't want it to be like that. Now, this is a reaction because these spaces are not respected by the most of the general public. Still, we know that the fine has gone from 500 to 5,000, but I mean, I don't monitor the law court, so I don't know how many persons would have been fined for parking in those parking spaces
But
without a
Carol,
parking
I
ID.
believe that several things need to happen. I think that the business owners, one, need to have a very clear directive on how those parking spaces should be managed by the security personnel or the appointed person that they have, one. Secondly, the security personnel need to allow people to park and let them put up their parking ID. If they do not have a parking ID, simply ask them to move, right? But I don't think it is wise to be placing a cone or a no parking sign in the spaces allocated for people with disabilities to utilize.
Well, the thing is that I've heard security guys say they were threatened by persons because no disabled people in boat here, so we're gonna get on, so and
well, as
so
you just said, legislation is there to support the parking spaces. Therefore, the security personnel need to use their authority. And if they are threatened, call the police.
It's true. But what I can't say, though, there's a silver lining. In the past, there would have been very few designated parking spaces for persons with disabilities. Now, they're pretty much everywhere. Almost every business place, I would say 9 out of 10 business places that I go to that have parking have spaces for persons with disabilities. And a lot of them have more than one. Gas stations have more than one. I go to many gas stations and they have
but
a copper.
It is being abused, and
It's
we need
been,
to stamp out the abuse.
well, let's hope in 2026 we see more improvements. To be honest with you, there's that part of me that when I go into a business place and I see like 5 parking spaces for disabled, and then I see the whole parking lot full of cars and all of these empty places with no people in the disabled parking, I to myself think, if I was a driver and I wasn't disabled, well, I must want part there too, because the empty space is there and the boy in them. And I think it is good to tell the general disabled traveling public, come out, the world is your oyster. Come out and go and shop. Go and utilize the spaces. They're there for you. And
yeah.
I am 100% sure that many of us out there who go on a day-to-day basis, I have seen disabled persons who refuse to go in these spaces on the other side of the coin. I really don't know why, but I've had people say, I ain't gonna park in there because I could walk to the thing, or you could walk with me to the space. So on the other side of the coin, there are those disabled persons who don't use the parking space either.
Because they think that it is more for those with mobility challenges who really need that shorter space between the entrance and the parking space. So I can also identify with what some people with disabilities think and hesitate about parking in those spaces.
Well,
But
I need a space.
As we continue to look at the attitudes of people in Barbados, would you say that the public's attitude towards people with disabilities or the community have shifted significantly over the past year?
Yes, I can say that because I would have had to rely on the general public more in 2025 than any time in my entire life, as I had no vision at all and really needed the help. And I would say 9 out of 10 persons that I would have asked for help were very willing and accommodating to help. I'm not going to say that I know what is in their minds, and they may have been like, I really want to help you, but I can't help you because I don't want you to say nothing. But I would say if that was the case, they certainly didn't show me any hesitation in helping. And that's man or woman. I would have had to hold on to person's arm in stores and supermarkets, on the street. Oh my goodness. And everyone was willing. Cars would stop immediately. If you want to see traffic really stop, pull out your cane. And I can say, that wasn't always so. That wasn't always so. You had to stand outside the road for a good long time before somebody stopped and let you pass as a person with the white cane for the blind. No, it's not so. People will stop immediately and allow you to cross. So moving around as a blind person in Barbados is a lot easier than it used to be. The feedback I get from persons in wheelchairs, not so much. We still have a long way to go in terms of accessibility with ramps and so on, as we talked about buses and that kind of thing. Having wheelchair persons on buses is still not a reality as we would like for public transport. But I would say the tactile on the elevators, all those things are in place. It's getting there. It's not where we would want it to be. It's always a work in progress, but it's getting there, at least in my reality.
How would you say that the public education and the media has helped to reduce the stigma, the prejudices, the negative thoughts around disability?
I think our advocating over the years, the whole in-your-face approach has really paid off. I know that there were some sections of the public over the years, they're always in my face with this disability thing. But eventually, we will wear you down and, you will accept us. I think that the acceptance is a lot more than it used to be. We still have the negative reaction, but I think that comes from myths and ignorance, in that when you dig deep down into people's psyche as it relates to disability, we are still significantly seen as the other people, not the same as everyone else. Because people help me on the street and they are very accommodating, doesn't mean that they see me the same as them. That is a little bit more difficult to change because changing person's concept. As I say, you cannot legislate attitudes. It will need a little bit more work to be done in order to have that happen. It may not happen in my lifetime because that part is pretty slow and difficult to get people's mindset change. I don't even know there's much more we can do other than do what we are doing now, try to make inroads into every aspect of society, whether it is government, whether it is work, social activities, whatever, the disabled has to continue making their presence known and felt so that those little myths and so on that causes persons to think that Perry and Yuli are not the same, we shouldn't have children, we shouldn't get married, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that. Once we have enough of being married and getting children, people will see, well, yeah, And it will change. It will not be quick, but it will change. We just need to continue doing what we are doing. I think that's the only way that we can get the acceptance that we truly deserve as persons with disabilities.
Okay, nice. As we get ready to wrap up, Peril, what would you say the Barbados Disability Act means to the community? Talk to me a little more about this.
I think the act covers a lot of areas that we, as a person with disabilities, were fighting to have change in education, access to work, social services, and so on. It addresses those things. Persons who obtain work and the whole conversation about whether you get your national insurance grant and you have to stop it because of work, the act addresses that. And a lot of other things that I cannot remember all right now, but I think the piece of legislation gives us the confidence to keep noise because there's a law in place for us to refer to and say, but hey, this is what the law says, it's what legislation says. And we have the backing of that to fight with. Before, we were fighting based on public sentiment. We're appealing to you to use your discretion, we're appealing to you to use your sense of humanity and so on. Now we're appealing to you not to break the law. And therefore, that in itself gives us the teeth to really push forward a bit more forcefully. It doesn't mean that the act changes anything specifically just like that, but it gives us a bit more traction to bring about the change in a more meaningful way. Maybe not quicker, but we have something more to fight with, a stronger building block, so to speak.
Okay, Peril, thank you so much for your thoughts, your expressions, and opinions on how 2025 looked for people with disabilities in Barbados. Any final word you want to share with our listeners, especially those young people with disabilities who shy away from getting involved in organizations?
I would say now is a good time to join any organization that represents your particular type of disability. It is more necessary now than before because the world looks to collective bargaining. It looks to people who have a collective voice. Your opinion and your fight is amplified louder when you are part of a collective. So please come out and join the organizations and get involved. 2025 was a historic year for the person with disabilities, and I believe that 2026 will continue along that vein. I would even go so far to say there's no better time to be living as a person with disabilities because there's so many things that are being realized. I told someone this morning, the youth young persons with disabilities will see a time that we will never see of blind persons driving, persons who are paralyzed from the neck down walking. Because of technology and the advancements in medicines and so on, a lot of things are being realized quicker than they were when I was younger till now. And the fact that if we have young disabled persons coming out and being part of the movement now, they will help to drive that change forward faster and make it a better place for them and the ones that come after them.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today. And I think that this has been very informative. So, again, I say thank you.
You're welcome, and Happy New Year again to all Vision and VOB listeners.
Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. Or you can go to VOB929.com website to listen to this and past episodes of Vision. So until next week, do take care of yourself. Love you.